Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 1st of February, 2021. A fairly ugly close to the week last week on Friday in the U.S. So, we corrected down around 4% close-to-close basis, or a high-to-close basis, if you will, over a few days last week. And that had the VIX still pretty elevated for, only a 4% correction at 33. But for some reason, we're starting off this week in a rather positive mood. All the headlines last week were all about the short squeeze and GameStop. And I'll have you talk a little bit about your perspective on that, Peter. But also, Ole, let's go straight to silver, because silver is really grabbing all the headlines. This is the new attack by the the internet forum driven trading crowd. And we do have silver with a very impressive move. It's actually moved a lot even since I was looking at it just an hour ago, almost at $30 an ounce here. Take us through the narrative and your perspective on where this could go, Ole.
Well, the narrative is clearly one that the market are, well, these participants on the Wall Street Bet is focusing on markets where there is a big short that potentially could be squeezed. And that has been the story in the silver market and gold market as well for years. The accusations that bullion banks are holding a massive naked short in the market in order to suppress the price, thereby keeping inflation or creating a sense of stability and low inflation environment. And that has simply not gone away. And I think it's part of that is basically quite often we're seeing the weekly data. If you look at the silver futures that trade in New York, that the swap section of the open interest swap dealers are basically bullion banks. That they tend to hold a short position. So we saw that started to be mentioned more and more at the end of last week. We saw silver move higher. I was a little bit skeptical on Friday about the move, but obviously, over the weekend, the social media has just exploded in terms of silver squeeze hashtags and so on. And as a result, we're trading 10% higher this morning. We are touching the August highs, and obviously, momentum right now is very likely to keep it, send it even higher. Let's just debunk the swap story, because the net short, I'm showing that on slide 7, the net short held by swap dealers last week was around 20,000 lots. That is more or less the equivalent of 20% of a daily turnover. So that is most certainly manageable. At the same time, hedge funds are already long, so there's no squeeze there to be found. But obviously, their long is relatively small compared to what we've seen previously. So they can add to their position. So that will add some strength to the market, as we've seen the market break higher. And also, if you look at slide 6, there's been a lot of headlines over the weekend that some of these major bullion houses in the US trading coins and small bars, they have basically run out of material. They stop quoting prices until they get the market up and running again. So that's obviously also attracting some attention. But I think the key thing to look out for, because a big move in silver is not unusual. Remember last year we had 6 20%+ moves. The biggest was 150% when we rallied from the lows last March, and the smallest one was 21%. So this is still within what we can what we easily can see happening in silver. But a couple of things: the ratio to gold is breaking down, so silver is obviously doing a lot of outperformance here. We're well below the 10-year average now, something like 10% below on the ratio. So silver is obviously outperforming. Another one that I will be keeping an eye on today is the spread between the spot market, the cash market, and the futures market, because obviously if that spread starts to blow out, that could indicate that we have some stress in the futures market. Right now it's trading around it's only trading around 20 cents. It was higher this morning, but right now the futures market, even though it's moving up, it's not showing any signs of stress.
Okay, it's interesting to note as well, when this whole story broke, and I saw a little bit over the weekend that there was talk of actually buying the physical silver, I had a look over at eBay, because back, if we recall, during 2010 and the arrival of QE2, there was incredible speculation in the precious metals, and I actually speculated a little bit in the physical market myself in silver, and that was easiest to do via eBay. And just noted back then, first of all, there was way more bullion available, especially in sort of investable lots of 10 coins and multiples of 10 coins. And the markup was generally around 10%, if I recall, on average, especially if you got further up in terms of value. But just so I just had a look over at eBay, and it's a very patchy market, to say the absolute least. I mean, the market is just all over the place because it's difficult to find the price on something. You have to find something that's only being auctioned. So what the actual clearing price that somebody's paying when the auction ends. And noted that an auction of 40 ounces of Mexican silver coins, this is based in the U.S., is currently priced at $55 an ounce. That's for 40 ounces. That's almost double the current price. On the other hand, I also saw a lot of 60 ounces of bars. I guess people don't like bars versus coins. It's the same stuff. It's silver bullion. The current price there, and this is an auction expiring tomorrow. The current bid is $29. So, of course, that's not the final price, but it just gives you some perspective that maybe there is something with all the physical trading hands, and I'll be curious to track that, and then maybe I'll provide an update or two if I notice anything interesting in some of the stuff I'm watching. But let's go back. Yeah,
I think that also highlights what the market is generally believing, that there are plenty of big bars available. So there is plenty of availability in silver right now, but the small denominations are, that's obviously where the focus is right now, because that's what retailers are chasing, and that is obviously creating some sense of a tight market. But if you look at the big normal bank to bank traded bars, should be plenty to go around.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to watch this week for sure. Silver, $30 an ounce this morning. But Peter, winding back to the focus last week, and it'll be interesting to see how much the focus stays on a crazy phenomenon like GameStop. What is your sense of what's going on in this space? How we closed Friday, and what you're looking for this week from this space, when they're limiting how much people can even trade these things now?
What happened was that, you know, last week we had that epic short squeeze, and then, as you all know, as we talked about, the big clearinghouse in the U.S., the DTCC, asked for more capital for Robinhood to and other brokers to, but especially Robinhood, to keep its positions. And the reason for that is that you have a settlement period of 2 days. So basically, credit risk were building up very fast in the system, and that's why Robinhood had too little capital to hold all these positions. Also because of the extreme volatility, which increases the credit risk. So a lot of things came out of this. So there's now work being done on a new model, because obviously, you had this big event, and suddenly the regulators were taking it back, and it was in shock what really was happening. So it's very much technical and in the plumbing. So I think a lot of work will be done on that. And then, you know, Robinhood, you know, raised $1 billion of capital. They had limited trading on Friday. They had a 50 stock restricted list where you could only do limited trading, and that got all the retail investors on the Wall Street Bets forum angry. And suddenly Robinhood was no longer on their side. They were part of the, you know, the establishment and the entire system. And that's what I think is the reason why we have moved on to silver in this case. Robinhood have reported that this morning we've now reduced the we have reduced the list to 8 names. GameStop is still on that list, and the thing is that you can only buy one share, and you can buy 5 options contracts. So it's really in place there to curb speculation. But I think this phenomenon is so violent, we still don't know how the week will end. I think we'll have to take it day by day. I think today the action is definitely silver, and maybe not as much in those 8 shares of GameStop, AMC Entertainment, BlackBerry, Nokia, etc. But overall, this is just, you know, as we've talked about in our internal call, John and Ole, it's very much about inequality and a large part of the young generation in the US that feel that that they left behind in some way, and that there is an establishment and elite that is not working for them. So this is a sign of that, and I think that could easily extend outside the financial markets.
Because what does it look like politically? For example, let's say the speculative phase ends here, and GameStop goes back to $20. There'll be a few people, to say the least, out there with stories to tell. And investigation. So I think the political ramifications could be quite profound. regardless of whether, you know, GameStop is going to go to $2,000 or it's going to go to $20, which I think it could do both, but eventually $20, just, and that's not a prediction. That's just what I suspect where this ends. So yeah, it's something that does demand watching, and especially for the longer term.
And maybe, John, and maybe we should just also point out that now that you have these restricted lists and the system sort of is, you know, pushing back against this rate on some of these stocks, the system is fighting back, and the you know, the executive director of S3 Analytics, which is one of the big firms tracking shorting of stocks in the US, said basically on Friday that this whole narrative that the hedge fund has been stopped out is actually entirely wrong. So you have Melvin Capital down 52% in January, lost their capital, but he said that a lot of capital have been deployed from other hedge funds shorting the stock from higher levels. So now you're just seeing basically a tsunami of activist capital from hedge funds shorting GameStop. And if you have restricted trading from the retail side, we could, and this is a big if, could end the week much lower in GameStop. If that's the case, if that's the new ecosystem of this, because then I think the pressure will be much higher on the short side.
Right. Okay. I only have one FX story today. I'll just go ahead and get that one out of the way, because this is a massive earnings week, and I want to talk a bit more about that. And that is Euro Sterling. I think it's one of the more interesting FX rates at the moment. The dollar tending to act as a safe haven currency, going up and down with risk sentiment. And actually not very impressively so in a lot of ways, considering how much volatility we saw last week, although a lot of that is that US based, and it's a bit of a curious singular phenomenon with this whole short squeeze, etc. But Euro Sterling really looks like it wants to break lower. I think the one thing that is holding it back and holding Sterling from a bigger breakout is the talk of negative rates or not from the Bank of England. And we should get a bit more resolution on that this Thursday. We've done a profound review and investigation into the practicality and so on. And there's been a bit of a divide in some Bank of England members in favor of negative rates, or at least not wanting to take that option off the table. Let's see what the conclusion is. I think if you get that negative rates issue, you know, fully off the table for, you know, over the next 12 months or whatever the horizon is that they want to provide that kind of guidance, it'll help the Sterling trade higher. Another aspect to all this is that the ECB is, you know, floating, or at least a couple of ECB people are floating the idea that, you know, there is a potential for another rate cut out there, or we shouldn't say that there's not the potential for that, however we want to phrase it, and the vaccine effort in the UK proceeding apace, whereas there's been a lot of political controversy and difficulties in the EU about the distribution supply of vaccines, and then the rollout has been much slower as well. So Euro Sterling, one of the interesting ones to watch this week if you want to stay away from the sort of binary up and down in some cases for the US dollar. But back to equities, Peter, it's a massive week. I can't remember how many companies you said are reporting this week, but take us through what you're looking for if the market is interested in earnings fundamentals, at least. I think that's an open question as well.
Yeah, that is an open question. Well, we track around 2,500 companies during the earnings season, and this week we'll see 175 of those reporting. And I've highlighted on slide 5 in red those that are most important. And as you can see, there's four names of interest tomorrow, which I've called the big e-commerce earnings day. So if you have UPS on the logistics side, so it's going to be super interesting, because it's a peek into the reflation trade that we have been talking so much about. And that finally, I think after last week's sort of compression and not being bid has really come back. You're seeing US 10-year yields almost back to 109. You have emerging markets, Japan and South Korea being bid this morning, in Asia up 2% across all these markets. You had the PCE core for December, really surprising to the upside last week. And you also had inflationary numbers that surprised to the upside in Europe and Germany. So I think the inflation story could come back. And just before I talk about the other companies tomorrow, look at the chart. I just updated it, the quarterly earnings per share in dollars for the MSCI World and the S&P 500. We are now almost flat in the MSCI World on compared to a year ago. So Q4, so basically the quarter before the pandemic started. And in the US, we are only 2% from taking out that. So corporate profitability have been restored. I think this is a good lead into that the reflation trade could come roaring this year, because if you have corporate profitability restored already, and with all this extra stimulus that are coming, and central banks around the world keeping interest rates low, I think companies will get increasingly confident that will be more aggressive, and the utilities capacity utilization is quite high in the manufacturing sector in Asia right now, and seeing these stories everywhere. Also this morning in one of the leading business newspapers in Denmark, you're having these electronic retailers saying that we're buying everything we can, or we're putting in orders for everything we can, and then we just cross our fingers that we'll get some slice of those orders delivered so we can sell. So you're seeing these bottlenecks popping up everywhere. Very exciting to track these stories as we go along. Coming back to the e-commerce data, so we talked about the UBS logistics side, super interesting. But then we have Amazon, Alphabet, and Alibaba. I think that triangle very much will give us insights to the health and activity of consumers, both in the US and China, which are the two largest economies in the world. And that's Amazon and Alibaba, but then also Alphabet with the Google search engine. And I think it's a bellwether for online advertising and all the trends that sort of goes on, and that's very much driven by the consumer retailing side, people looking for goods they can buy. So but these three names are a couple of percentages of the MSCI World Index, so they're very important for equity sentiment this week. If, and that's a big if you're right, John, that we actually will talk about fundamentals and markets if the short squeeze and the Wall Street bets game continues this week, obviously we will not discuss earnings to the same degree as a normal week. But I do think that tomorrow is a big day for equity sentiment.
Yeah, well, the story has not gone full circle. The whole short squeeze issue. A lot of these names are still elevated. So let's see how that all that unwinds. I think it'll be a very interesting week, and quite volatile, as mentioned. The VIX still very elevated, suggesting that this has kind of unsettled the broader market to a pretty considerable degree. But and one thing you're talking about is equity fundamentals, perhaps the market caring even less about macroeconomic fundamentals, but let's have a look at the calendar. ISM manufacturing today, it's all interesting stuff for future notice. And we have the RBA overnight. I'm not expecting anything from them. I think the Bank of England is for once a central bank meeting, though, that's a bit more interesting on Thursday, given that negative interest rate talk, as mentioned. So we'll be watching that closely. Some Fed speakers out, but we've kind of put to rest what the Fed attitude is towards things, I think, for now. Just note that on Friday, we got the PCE inflation data. This is the Fed's most important inflation gauge. And it did beat expectations by, at the core, 0.2% beat on both on the month-to-month, so 0.3% there, and then the year-on-year at 1.5%, if I'm recalling correctly. And that is interesting, but it doesn't get more interesting until we get the basing effects into March and April, and then see how things develop over the summer. So it's just notable that inflation is running hot relative to expectations just about everywhere. There's been an inflation reading of late, and we have a Eurozone one up later this week as well, so we'll keep our eyes on that in case the market wants to trade on fundamentals at some point. For now as well, let's also look at the US long yields. They're back a little bit higher, but we need to see an upside break, I think, to demand our attention. But if they are doing so, they demand a lot of attention. So we'll talk more about that later this week if that's what develops. For now, we'll call it a day, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call. For today, thanks for joining.